You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is something very special. That is a track called Deep England, which is indeed the title track from an album by Gazelle, Twin and Nyx. And we've got two members of Nyx, founding members in fact, in the studio. It's Sian O'Gorman and Philippa Neils. Morena, welcome along.
Yeah, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Hey, it's so lovely to have you both here. I think for context, we need to start with like who, what, when, where and how is Nyx, because this is an incredible album that you've just released. All vocal. That's pretty amazing. Mm. Tell us a little bit about how Nyx came to be. You're both from New Zealand, but based in London normally. How did this whole project come about?
Wow, do we have half an hour? So basically, I've been singing in choirs since I was a little munchkin. Mm-hmm. And I was always really into exploring the voice, and I was just getting a little bit more into experimenting with digital manipulation and playing with guitar pedals and singing through that. And I was also at the same time kind of simultaneously getting into sound baths and also going to a lot more gigs that were really based on really using and spatializing the the sound of things, like really heavy kind of droney sun vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
Really getting into that. And then I remember kind of feeling like, what if I had just this group of women all around me and we were all, I had a vision of us all dressed in white, but sometimes we were white, but mostly red. I'm wearing white today. And just was like, how epic would that be if we were all using these manipulations?
Yeah.
And then I remember coming across, we actually didn't even know each other in New Zealand, but we had a beautiful shared friend who was like, oh, you guys have got to catch up. And we're all, you know, when someone's like, you got to catch up, and you're like, do I really? And
then we,
we caught up and we drank about two bottles of rosé and we just, I started explaining this idea and she was like, yes. And
that's
so,
so
the concept started there. And then,
yeah, we were, me and Josh Thomas, who's the other, the third founder or co-creator, we were running a music festival in London called Convergence. And we were both programming it, and we were sort of finding a lot of the electronic music we were programming live was a bit boring, except for like the lighting shows. Like often people didn't really know what people were doing. You have these epic sounds, but it was quite hard to visualize.
Totally.
So we were sort of like, what if we tried to deconstruct it, the electronic music through voice, and people could see the construction of it. And then we just gave it a go. We didn't know the day of our first show, we were like, oh no, this isn't going to work at all.
Yeah, because technically it's really, it's a new technical thing. Like that. When we did it, I was like, okay, so we've got all these processes, we've got all of this technology, we've got all these voices, and then sending that text back to a sound person, they're just like, what is this?
God bless.
And the amount
engineers.
Of, you know, we require a good hour and a half to sound check now because it's really hard to get it right.
Yeah.
And we were just freaking out. But then the power of all these people singing together and the kind of breadth of instrumentation that the technology offers us, it's just like we can sing super deep sub bass.
It's amazing.
Yeah. We can go on for soup. We can play these drones on for like half an hour. It's amazing.
It's so cool. And it's so, I think, incredible as well when you use the voice, particularly women's voices or femme voices, voices that are like have been notoriously marginalized in the music canon. And then you kind of amplify it and you screw around with it and you just kind of can make it into this wonderful thing. It's quite a political act in many ways as well. And I know that there is like a very strong foundation of feminism in what you do as Nyx. How does that feed into the stuff you produce as a group?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about that quite a lot. The thing that was, I was really suffering because I was working as a session singer also and doing a lot of session choir singing. And I was just so bored of having to get on stage and look really beautiful and just sing these really beautiful notes to be behind a band. And I was like, there is just so much more of female voices that can be explored. Like there's this beautiful darkness and disgustingness that I'm really into.
Yeah,
and I was
like
playing around with that. And I was like, how can we play with this darkness and divinity at the same time? And so the technology really allows us to really expand and play with that, and it's almost taking the voice away from it's embodying it, but it's also giving it this agency to just become more of an instrument. It's less about it, sometimes it feels less about who I am and me just using my body as a way to project a noise.
Yeah, totally.
And it doesn't have to be anything more than that. But when we all come together, it's a very powerful experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were also looking like, you know, it costs a lot of money to have a lot of bodies on stage, you know. And we were like, we've got a choir. We perform live with six singers because we can do so much with the tech. We sort of had this idea of, rather than often choirs can look quite passive, like what would it mean if you had this choir like literally armed in like access cables? Shan composes a lot with open score, so most of the time the singers have agency to improvise a bit, so you see them kind of really hands-on manipulating their own sound, so it feels really active.
Yep.
Which was kind of part of the wearing a white dress, lots of cables sort of image we drew.
It's pretty, it is, I think, it's quite confronting in a really amazing way when you hear this like wall of voices coming at you. As you were saying, Shan, it sort of takes it away almost from a human aspect sometimes as well, and becomes this other almost, you know, ethereal, mythical thing, which I think ties back to this album a little bit as well. We're talking about Deep England, which is a record you've made with Gazelle Twin, and it's actually a kind of a reworking of Gazelle Twin's 2018 album. Do you want us to tell us a little bit about who is Gazelle Twin and how did this collaboration come about?
Yeah, absolutely. Gazelle Twin is Elizabeth Bernholtz, and when we first started, we were like, we want to collab with some amazing female electronic producers and artists and make some new music with them. Mm. And so we contacted her. She was like the top of my list. I was like, I really want to work with her. We literally sent her a PowerPoint presentation being like, we're an electronic drone choir, and with not even any audio. Yeah. And she was like, I am so freaking into this.
Awesome.
And then we had a call with her.
We were so excited.
Yeah, we were so excited. We had a call with her, and she was like, look, and I'd already gone through her back catalogue, and I was like, I want to expand that out. I want to do that one, that one, that one. I had a full, like, probably
second
like
PowerPoint.
A Google sheet of like ordered things. I was like, oh my God. And then I talked to her, and she was like, well, this is really interesting. I'm actually just finished this album called Pastoral, which is all about looking into the past and into the future and seeing all these crazy little pockets of British culture.
Yeah.
And I've used a lot of like choral stuff. I've used a lot of drones. I've used a lot of recorders. And I was like, recorder, stop it. My favorite instrument. And then, so she sent that to me. And as soon as she sent me that, and I felt so privileged to have like a pre-copy of the album.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
this is epic. Like I already could see, like, if I had time, I would have done the whole album. Mm. But so we've used maybe six of her pieces, and then we've got, or maybe five, and then we've got two reworkings of traditional songs. Well, one's Jerusalem, which is like the classic anthem, which turns into quite a satanic
experience. I love that moment on the album. Yeah. I think pretty much everybody in New Zealand will know it because it's one of those kind of colonial parts of our upbringing as like, you know, a colony state.
Yes.
We all know Jerusalem, whether you think you do or not. And when it comes in, you're like, oh, yeah. And then it just gets creepier and creepier and weirder and weirder and almost sarcastic and like, oh, it's just fantastic. It really shifts into this whole new space. Mm. And what's the other track that you
The other one
about?
That we did was, as soon as we thought about expanding the show out and getting it bigger, we performed it at the South Bank Centre, and we had some space to make the set longer, and I was like, I'd just been really getting into kind of the folk horror cinema world, and I was like, we need to do the piece from The Wicker Man. And then so we decided to do Fire Leap, which is in the film The Wicker Man. It's like the bit where there's the policeman's driving, he's freaking out, and there's this group of witchy naked women, some of them pregnant, some of them not, and they're jumping over this fire, and they're basically calling in the fertility spirits to impregnate them. And I was like, well, that would be great. so we did that. And then there's another piece, the final piece on the album, which is a Nick's original. It's one that I wrote. It's called Golden Dawn, and it's actually a lot to do about the kind of hermetic cults of the day. So that ends on that, and then that's also me singing in like a baritone kind of solo with all these like wailing, falling trees and
amazing
spirits. And so they all fit together remarkably well, and actually it's a completely different order to what we performed them in. But as we were playing them, we were like, this is how it's meant to be.
It's one of those things, I think, listening to this record, it draws, like we were just saying, on all of these pastoral sort of elements of like British culture, all these old and weird things like maypoles and sort of, you know, wicker men, as you say, and like the green men, and all of this kind of like paganism is very heavy in it. But then again, when you release it in the context of today, it brings out all this like politics of the current moment. Like I couldn't stop thinking about Brexit and the refugee crisis, and then, you know, just the way it sits in the present is so interesting. How has that been, I guess, for you when you're making this record and then releasing it in the world? Do you know exactly this is the kind of politics we think it's going to hit on, or does it sort of happen a bit naturally when you put something out like this?
I think it's been totally natural. I mean, Elizabeth Gazelle Twin obviously wrote Pastoral quite a while ago. It came out in 2018. And we did our first sort of scratch performance in 2018 at the end of the year. So it was around a similar time of the release. And then we went on to develop the show in 2019 and perform it at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in the South Bank Centre on a huge scale, and then recorded the album after that and releasing it in 2021. Like, this is pre-coronavirus, pre-Brexit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's actually Elizabeth's manager who always said, I really think there is never going to be a time where this isn't relevant and it's only going to get more. We were like, we should do it on the day of Brexit, or we should do, we tried to make it, and we just end up being, just trust it, because, I think there's something, I think particularly our version with the bringing in the choir gives it a more ancient feeling, and somehow giving it more time and space to sit in the current environment is, there's a lot of grief in the album, we feel.
Yeah.
It's a real purge, and I think particularly to all our pals out in Britain at the moment who have been stuck at home for over a year, they kind of really need that release, so it feels like the right time now. But
absolutely. But it could be, as you say, the right time in a lot of moments too. I think we should listen to this wonderful Fireleap version that you've done now. If people want to go and have a fully immersive experience with this wonderful record, Deep England, tonight is the time to do it at the Audio Foundation. What's the deal? How do people head along there? What time does it all kick off?
I think we're opening the doors at 8. Yeah. And then, it's come in, it's Koha, it's BYO, and just come down and, we'll start playing the album. I can't remember what time, but we'll all sit down, there'll be incense, there'll be cushions, and we'll just get fully into it, turn the lights off and get deep into England.
And we're going to have a little chat after, hosted by Matt Crawley. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thank you both so much, Philippa and Sian. It's been such a pleasure. Let's listen to Gazelle Twin and Nyx. This is Fire Leap.
Thank you.
BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.